What is music? Music is lyrics, understanding and communication, same superhighway business. Music of instruments, of harps and guitars and organs. What is lyrics combined with music? Lyrics of instruments, of harps, of gods and angels. Selassie singing in the wind.
Music.
This is La DJ Amara. I'm hoping that I can hear myself. You're listening to This Bridge, and I can't hear myself. Maybe DJ Lotus will call me and let me know. Oh, here we go. Headphones. Headphone volume is good. So you're listening to This Bridge. It's Friday. What is the date today? Friday the 8th. And I have a guest today. His name is Dan Wattman. And he helped to organize the Stop the Feds action last Saturday, April 2nd, 2005. So I want to thank you very much for coming.
No, thank you.
Cool. And, yeah, so we're going to be talking about borders, talking about some stuff that's going on here in San Diego along the border, triple fence, the real ID, and hopefully moving on to talking about what might be going down in Arizona and... some really exciting stuff that happened globally on April 2nd as well, with like just the international call to act up against borders in general, which is very cool. So I think I want to start off with some music. And if anyone wants to call, be part of this, that would be rockin'. We'd love to have you call or instant message. Our number is 269-4693. It's 619-269-4693 here in San Diego. And our instant message name is Radioactive SD. So give us a call, drop us a line, let us know what's going on. And I'm going to play you a couple songs. The first one I'm going to play, it has been in my head all day long, so I just need to hear it. And it's Summer Kisses, Winter Tears by Julie Cruz from Until the End of the World. Soundtrack. And then the second one is a request from my guest Dan Wattman from Intijimani, and this one is gonna, or the second song is gonna be called Esta Eterna Costumbre. So aquí estamos, señores y señoritas.
Summer sun through
esta eterna costumbre de amarte que me llena la sangre con los duros vestigios del dolor que arremete mi vida como una bestia ciega para encontrar la grieta que da mi corazón. Esta eterna costumbre que no teme al olvido, que niega cada instante de mi tranquilidad y hace que yo te sienta como un juego perdido que me acerca a las garras de la ancha soledad. Ella me hace que tiemble de oscuridad si tarda, que mi mano no te encuentre en el lecho. Esta eterna costumbre que me anuda al infierno, que me ata lo imposible de una vida de insidias, se hundirá en los sargazos de tu ciega inclemencia el día en que me venza tu arrogante perfidia.
Digimani. We love them. I'm going to be playing some Gotan project in the background for all y'all who love Gotan out there. And if you don't listen closely, you will. Just to play some music in the background while we talk. So, yay. Hi. We're back.
Hi.
So, Mr. Dan Wattman, tell me about Saturday, April 2nd. What inspired you? What led you up to it?
Ah, okay. Well, I do these border meetups. I call them border meetups. It's not like an official organization or anything, but I'm a Spanish teacher, and it started because I got this the paperwork to take my students to Tijuana is horrendous with the community college. So I thought, and I knew about the fence and how you can go all the way to the fence and basically be in Tijuana, but without going into Tijuana. And I lived in Tijuana for a while, and so I have a lot of friends there and a lot of friends that want to practice their English. And so I arranged it one day with my class. We went to the border fence, and a bunch of friends from Tijuana came that wanted to practice their English, came to the fence, and we did a language cultural exchange. Yeah.
Love that.
And then I started doing these border meetup things where I tried to make a theme to have people meet up at the fence. We did I coordinated with the people doing the beach cleanups on California Coastal Cleanup Day. And we started with a group 3 miles on either side of the fence and walked towards the fence, cleaning up the beach, and then met for a cultural exchange at the fence. And we had a tertulia where people, it's like an artistic get together where people read poems and sing songs and play musical instruments, and we did it right at the fence. So
that's fun.
Yeah, that's the only ones we've done. That's the other three. And then like about a month ago or a little more, I heard about this HR 418, and you know, the whole underlying purpose for these meetups is to kind of expose people to people from other cultures, and just putting another fence in there, another barrier, two more barriers, was just kind of exactly the opposite of what I kind of liked about it. And I hooked up, teamed up with some other people, and we started a petition, and then found out that there were already some organizations working against it with another petition. And I have some media contacts and stuff like that. And so I just started spreading the word, and then that's how it led up to it.
Cool. So I've been working with some organizations here in San Diego that are working on border issues as well.
Uh-huh.
And it was just such a great surprise to see that somebody else was working on it, and it was like, it was really great, like organized, beautiful picture, good call to like action, and we were very excited to like come out and meet the people who are organizing it, and like see if we can maybe collaborate on future projects for sure. So
awesome.
Very glad that connection was made.
Awesome.
So on the day of, do you want to like kind of let our listeners know how that went?
Yeah, I guess I should say one more thing about it leading up to it, that I was kind of hoping that exactly that would happen, you know, because I knew that there had to be more organizations and more people doing stuff like this, or, you know, that were against it, including, you know, environmental organizations and stuff like that. And so I was hoping that pretty much what happened would happen, that other organizations would, through me spreading the word and other people spreading the word, that other organizations would hear about it and hop on board and you know, make it a big event. It turned out, that's how it kind of turned out. There was quite a few environmental organizations, Environmental Health Coalition and the Native Plant Society, Audubon Society, James Pugh from the Audubon Society came, and big part I owe that to Bettina, who was helping me. She's a big environmentalist, and she had a lot of environmental connections, and so she handled a lot of the networking to environmental organizations. Enrique Morón is with the Border Angels, came in, he was, how's it going?
Sorry. Do you want me to come back at some time? Or did I miss it?
Did you miss what? We're actually on the air right now.
Your interview, talking about the border?
Yeah, it's right now. Come on in.
Put the bleach in and I'll be
cool. I'm so sorry. So a half-naked lotus with hair sticking up is like the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time.
I wonder what you're cracking up.
All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I was just saying about there was humanitarian organizations that were involved too, like the Border Angels and American Friends. So yeah, they all hopped in and got more people to come and worked out really well.
Yeah, that was very exciting. I volunteer as well for Indie Media, or San Diego Independent Media. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got it through the Coalition for Peace and Justice. Coalition for Peace and
Justice. That was one of the first places I went because I knew they would. Well, I suspected they'd like the idea, and so I went to one of their meetings and they gave me the floor to talk about it and stuff. And then
awesome.
And they have like a, I don't know, they have a mailing list of like 2,000 people or something. So
yeah, totally. So I was on that mailing list forwarded on to Indie Media, and actually a crew from Indie Media was there. So if people listening want to check out some photos of the action, there's a little bit of audio and some video of the day as well. So they
yeah,
can check
great
that
photos
out.
By the way, with Indie Media, they're awesome.
You can go to sandiego.indiemedia.org, and the story is called "A Rising Movement Against the Minutemen and the Border." Some great stuff going on there.
Yeah.
It will connect you, will link you to some actions that also happened throughout the world on April 2nd, and it's kind of an update on what may be going down in Arizona, or what is going down in Arizona with the Minuteman Project.
Cool.
As well. So, yeah, it's good. It's a pretty great article, if I do say so myself.
yeah, I think so too.
Cool. So, yay. I actually did meet up with somebody from Raza Rights who went there, and
right,
also the Brown Brace represented.
Yeah,
there.
Also Fist, I guess, was there too.
Fist was there. So, yeah, it was great. I was, you know, I go to a lot of rallies and marches, and this one was very unique in that we had, like, this really beautiful silent walk through, like, through the park and down the beach, and it gave me an opportunity to, like, talk and meet with all these organizations, all these people that were represented. Networking was great.
Yeah, that walk was really cool. I mean, it was a little different than, you know, I called it march and protest, but the reason I decided to do a march was because the road's closed to cars, so we had to walk out there anyway, so I figured, oh, we'll call it a march.
Yeah.
But there's not really, I know, usually when you think of a march, you think of, like, on the streets and where people can hear you and stuff, and this is kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's weird because it's out in the middle of nowhere, but at the same time, it's right next to Tijuana, where the beach is just, like, totally packed with people and stuff, but on the U.S. side, there's nobody around.
There's no one around.
Yeah, there never is.
So striking. Like, the beach is deserted.
Yeah.
We need to all go down there and visit us so much more often.
Yeah, definitely.
Exchange is going.
Careful on the soft sand.
That's right.
They warned me not to try and stay off the soft sand because it's nesting season and what have you.
So, walking through the flower fields, it was kind of marching in solidarity with and kind of in silent protest with as well. So that was what I really enjoyed about it. It gave me a chance to reflect in addition to network with the people around me. So that was really good for
That's
me
cool.
on the part. And then walking down the beach, like, I'd never been there. So
most people hadn't, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy. So to walk down this deserted beach that led down to, like, this crazy, like, stark silhouette of the border in the background, like, and I really enjoyed having the people who were just hanging on the beach on their end, like, come over, like, and have us just that beautiful, like, human connection that happened spontaneously from people were just chilling on the beach and people marching towards them. It's really neat.
Yeah, that's what I like best about the border meetups. That, you know, this one kind of had the theme of a protest, but that's what I like best is when there's connections, you know, with people from both sides of the border, and it, you know, all of a sudden the borders don't matter too much. Kind of cool.
True. Yeah, it just got in the way.
Yep, exactly.
There's some really great exchanges that were going on. Was there any organizing on the end of Tijuana?
A little bit, yeah. The Las Gaviotas, which is an environmental group there, they supported it and had some representatives there. And Pro Peninsula, they sent some people there.
Cool.
Gabby Johnson, who's an environmentalist, I believe she's with Pro Peninsula. She spoke. She was one of the speakers, and she spoke from the Tijuana side. And so,
cool.
Yeah, and we had some really good speakers. Well, those organizations that I mentioned, somebody from the Audubon Society, James Pugh spoke, and David Fleetner from the Native Plant Society, Enrique Morones from Border Angels, and Jorge Osuna from the Environmental Health Coalition, and a representative from La Raza and Raza Rights, and Ruth from FIST. So it's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
How do you think it went?
I think it went really well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved it if, 1,000 people showed up or something, but I wasn't really expecting that. Yeah. it was really good. I wanted people to make that connection with through the fence and come to that realization that, what's this stupid thing doing here? And so, which everybody does when they go there. I thought that's kind of what happened in a lot of cases. And of course, people that went aren't really too favorable to the border to start with. So maybe that has something to do with it too. But meeting someone, from a different culture, and like you said, some people were able to come across and join us, and that's cool too.
Yep. Yeah. And where are you going next? Like, what are some stuff that maybe was built up from Saturday's action, or kind of came out of it?
Yeah. I didn't know about it. Well, I knew about the Border Angels, but that was the only organization that went that I even knew about before doing this. And now I know about EHC. I've hooked up with really well. And I knew about Indie Media, but I didn't. I now know a lot more about them. Radioactive, I know a lot more about them now. And American Friends too. I didn't even know about those guys. And they've been around for 85 years, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they've been around for 85 years, and they've been in San Diego for 25, I think. And so that was really cool. And they're all, all those organizations that I mentioned are gung ho about stopping the concepts of HR 418. And so that's really cool. And they have a lot of days of action. They have this from now until the 12th. Mostly EHC, I think, is and American Friends also. They've kind of teamed together to get people to call Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, I guess, too. But mostly Dianne Feinstein, because she's on the War Appropriations Committee, which is what HR 418 has been swept under. So they're going from the 7th to the 12th, and actually today, I guess there was I didn't get to do it, but there was a conference call where anybody could call in and kind of listen to what's going on in Congress, which is cool. I didn't get to hear about how it went, but
I actually got an update from Stop the Triple Fence folk.
Awesome.
The Senate Appropriations Committee marked up a clean supplemental appropriations bill, which I guess means that there's still going to be the military spending, which sucks, international tsunami aid, additional funding for domestic flood relief, but what the Senate Appropriations Committee proposed does not contain the immigration policy related
okay
stuff.
That's awesome.
Doesn't mean that it won't get added later once it hits the floor.
That's what I heard.
But at this point, it's not on the it's not on the bill. So somebody's going to have to bring it up and attach it at some point from here on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah, that at this point they didn't attach it, but they can sneak it on next week or something, I heard.
Yep, for sure. So it's so important to lay the pressure on and start calling up all of our people.
Right.
Feinstein, I think, is the San Diego focus for sure, or I guess the California focus of for getting it out there. And I think there's a sense that there's a lot of people who are against it, but not so passionately that they're going to speak up about it.
Right.
If it does pass, it passes.
They're not that interested.
So later on, when I find the numbers, I will give out the number for Dianne Feinstein and Mr. Arnold too.
They were suggesting call him too.
So I guess move on to HR 418.
Sure. Well, I guess as far as future plans that this led up to, I plan on having a couple more border meetups this summer.
Cool.
Which I'm working on the themes for, but one is probably going to be another language exchange, because I'm starting a class on Monday, a conversation class, and so at the end of it's a 6-week class. At the end of the 6-week class, we'll probably try and do that. And then I just got this idea today to do an environmental one where it's not overtly political, but since I've gotten contact with so many environmental organizations on both sides, I'm thinking that they would love to have a meetup there where we did a cultural exchange, and the theme is environmental unity.
That's great.
That would be really cool. I'm thinking maybe by August or something, do that. And then Enrique, he was happy with how it went on Saturday. He actually canceled some plans to do something else in order to participate, and he came in with his taking a stand against the Minutemen, and he wants to do a protest once a month now, and you know, so I'm not, he went to Arizona, I guess, or he's going to Arizona soon, the Border Angels, and so when he comes back, we're going to have a meeting and see how that works out. So.
Great. That's awesome. In just a little bit, we're going to have hopefully DJ Lotus coming in, and we can talk about Border Hack a little bit.
Okay.
You've heard too much about.
A little bit, yeah. I heard a little bit more at the. Oh, that's another thing. At the Saturday's event, I got informed about a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. So, I don't want to break that down too much, because I think Lotus has a pretty good handle on what that's going to look like. So, I want him to introduce it for sure. But I guess for our listeners, maybe, if you're out there, HR 418 is, I'm just going to read this because it's pretty hardcore. So if you don't know about it, now is your time to get more involved, because it's going to change a lot. It's going to affect a lot of, like, our civil rights, our environmental protections. So let's see. It's called the Real ID. It would make fundamental changes in the asylum process, making it even more difficult for asylum seekers. And me as a political refugee, like, my family would have been directly affected by it. Even more so, like, people who are coming now, from now on, are going to be deeply affected by this. Give the security of the Department of Homeland Security the power to waive all laws without review by courts or other administrative body in order to construct barriers at the borders. This would mean rolling back about 30 years worth of environmental laws that have been building up, just wiping them out without debate. It would make it easier to deport immigrants based on their association with organizations designated as terrorists or terrorist organizations, similar to what the Patriot Act does, has outlined.
I think Homeland Security is a terrorist organization.
Yeah, that would be the lead terrorist organization here. So, yeah, so what is a terrorist organization? That's very scary that people get to define that for us. Deny immigrants access to courts and other legal procedures when being deported. And increase the minimum bail for immigration cases from $1,500 to $10,000. Yeah. Out of total control. Authorize civilian bail bonds and bounty hunters to arrest, detain, and turn over immigrants to the Department of Homeland Security. And that one, can I repeat that again?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to reread this one, because it's really, really scary.
Oh, I got it.
So it would authorize civilian bail bondsmen and bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So we're authorizing bounty hunters to go out and arrest, detain, and turn in immigrants to the Department of Homeland Security. We're giving them free rein to go out and do their job
in
however way they want to interpret that. I have this awful, like, vision of the cops show and knowing that most of the people go doing their work aren't going to have cameras turned on them, like...
Uh-huh.
How much worse is it going to be for anyone caught by these bail bondsmen?
How are they going to distinguish, though? How are they going to distinguish between criminals and and whatever the other people are.
Well, all illegal immigrants are criminals, right?
Yeah.
So
so as long as you're not, you can't really shoot or grab or beat anybody up unless they're an illegal immigrant, then you can do it.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of this is going to be just we'll do it and ask questions later. Because even if you are like legal immigrants, like so many are so disenfranchised, like who's gonna report it? Who's gonna
I could see
have
that
the representation to follow up? So yeah, it's gonna get pretty ugly very soon if Real ID passes. And two more: it would prohibit undocumented immigrants from obtaining a driver's license, make it harder for immigrants to obtain a license at all. Slowing down the process even more, and making that distinction between me and other so much more. And without a driver's license, like, what can you not have in the United States? You can't get a job without a driver's license.
Uh-huh.
You can't.
Well, the worst thing is you can't drive a car.
Yeah, or get insurance. On top of that, yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's the last of it. The last point is it's going to implement other harmful provisions. I wish I would have that break. I wish I could have found it where that was broken down. Like, but I think the first 7 points are pretty harmful.
Wow.
As it is. So, okay. So that's HR 814 called the Real ID. And it is not nice, folks. I'm going to play some music in just a second. And we're going to come back with maybe some poetry.
Cool.
How do you feel about that?
That sounds good to me.
Cool. So we'll play Mana with Justicia, Tierra y Libertad.
Muy bien.
Yeah.
Justicia, Tierra y Libertad. Justicia, Tierra y Libertad. Oye tú mi canto. Oye tú mi llanto. Oye, oye.
Aloha. Oops, I cut that off. So, yay, we're back. I found the phone number for Ms. Feinstein, so if anyone wants to call, in fact, everyone should call. Go call. Call now. Okay, maybe not now, because it's Friday, 5 p.m. I don't think anyone's going to be answering, unless you want to blow up the voicemail. But most especially, call next week, every single day next week, if you can. If not, the most important day to call is the 12th, because that's when people are... That's when people feel that the vote will most likely go through. So on the 12th, we need to be reminding them that
it's not something...
Yes. That it's not something people are digging on so much. It's very important not to pass it. So, okay, Dianne Feinstein. Her phone number is, in San Diego, 619-231-9712. Her, I guess, Washington, D.C. number is the next best bet, would be... 202-224-3841. You can also fax her at Washington D.C. number, which is 202-228-3954. On San Diego Independent Media, there was a call out for a press conference. And if you follow the link from the press conference, you'll be able to find the phone numbers that I just gave, and also directly under that, some speaking points if you need them. So, oh, some great websites to connect to as well, such as the Environmental Health Coalition and the American Friends Service Committee and Audubon Society. Lots of great stuff, so definitely check it out. Again, another pitch for San Diego Independent Media. So... I need to clear my throat because we're going to play some or we're going to read to you some poetry. Do you want to introduce it?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay. Sure. This one is called The Real Mexico, Acaso, and it's kind of like three poems in one. So I think Aymara is going to read one poem, and then I'm going to read another poem, and then we're going to mix them together for a third poem.
Cool.
An alternative title for this poem is Perspective Mishmash. Perspective Mishmash. That's hard to say.
Mishmash.
Perspective Mishmash.
Three times, five times fast. Mishmash. Cool. So, me? Start?
Yeah, I'm going to read this one.
The Real Mexico. Red lights, sleazy bars, tequila poppers, gadgets and gizmos for any price. Cheap cigars, prescription drugs, run down streets. Crooked cops, dog tacos, gutted babies stuffed with cocaine. Toyota 4Runner, outer border dancing and screaming, hooking up, blurry vision.
Okay. ¿Acaso? ¿Acaso? El alto que no tiene por qué estar allí. Que nadie respeta, de cachetito, de lengua, de cabeza, 7 pesos, 35 años de servirle, la caminata al precipicio, el horizonte que rompe la oscuridad de las estrellas, en perspectiva, para llegar a mi casita, el bache marca la vuelta final, buenas noches, excelentes, la sonrisa de la baby, mis libros me aguardan, y mi perro, leche caliente, mis dos banderas en el muro.
The Real Mexico.
¿A casa? ¿Acaso?
Red lights.
El alto que no tiene por qué estar allí.
Sleazy bars.
Que nadie respeta, de cachetito, de lengua, de cabeza, 7 pesos, 35 años de servirle.
Tequila poppers.
La caminata al precipicio.
Gadgets, gizmos for any price.
El horizonte que rompe la oscuridad de las estrellas.
Cheap cigars and prescription drugs.
En perspectiva.
Down, run down streets.
Para llegar a mi casita, el bache marca la vuelta final.
Crooked cops.
Buenas noches.
Dog tacos.
Excelentes.
Gutted babies stuffed with cocaine.
La sonrisa de la baby.
Toyota 4Runner.
Mis libros me aguardan y mi perro.
Out of border dancing and screaming.
Leche caliente.
Hooking up.
Mis dos banderas en el muro.
Blurry vision. Yay. That was really cool. Thank you for letting me share your reading.
Thank you for letting me share it.
Thank you for bringing it. Very cool. So, Mr. Dan Waltman, is there anything else that you wanted to say about this? Because I know we need to be heading out soon.
I don't think so. Just I you know that demonstration on Saturday the 2nd was mainly because I think one of the root causes of you know false stereotypes and racism and even terrorism is just a lack of understanding between cultures, and so I kind of looked at the triple fence as kind of a contributing to even to terrorism. So
yeah, I really I think thank you for driving the point home as far as the move for a triple fence in how that cultural exchange that you bring with your classrooms will get lost, like that immediate human connection through the gate that we have standing now will be so totally lost.
Yeah, I have plans. If it comes up, there's a place way out in Alpine, or there's just a barbed fence, and so won't be able to do it as often, but we'll be able to do something at least.
Yeah, it's amazing though. I mean, the length that we need to go to in order to continue to make those connections over this arbitrary line that we call border.
yeah, just people that live in the same neighborhood, basically.
Yeah, and, totally. We're right across the street from each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you're meeting your neighbors, but now you can't.
Yep.
I guess one of the conversations that I had on April 2nd was kind of a conversation I actually was listening in on from the California Border Park folks, the park patrol people.
State Park Rangers.
Yeah, State Park Rangers. Yes, thank you. So they, recognized that no matter how many fences we put up, if people need to get through, if they want to get through, they'll find a way.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, we can, like, extend borders all the way up to freaking Canada from here.
and they'll hop over them, yeah.
Yeah, out
of desperation. Or go under them or whatever, yeah.
Out of everything to come.
Yep.
So, they also explained kind of, like, maybe I'll bring in somebody to talk a little bit more about environmentally what's going to go down if all these fences get...
Yeah.
Completed.
I've learned a lot. I mean, I knew that it was an environmental detriment, but since I've been connected with these environmental organizations, I've learned a lot about exactly what it's going to do, and it's just horrendous.
Yeah. So on all these multiple fronts, like, it's a bad idea, folks.
Yep.
Freaking triple fence, real ID, all of it.
Bad.
Muy mal. Yeah. So, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
And for definitely just getting out there and doing something.
No problem.
We need more people just taking that initiative. So, yay, I'm going to play another one of my favorite songs. Right now it's called Ride the Fence by The Coup. It's going to be followed by 5 Million Ways to Kill a CEO. They're pretty connected, I think. So hold on just a second.
Yeah, that's right. Gotta get off the phone. Bus right there. Okay. I'm anti-theory, anti-trust, anti-gun, shit won't bust. Anti-corporate, anti-my essence, anti-sporting them, anti-depressants, but I'm not pro-popping. I'm pro-vocative and pro-stopping them FBI operatives who pro-sectional the black man pounds and hand you a sentence that you can't pronounce. I'm also anti-narco, anti-vice, 911 marks the anti-Christ. They anti-social for an M16, cause I'm anti the anti-nigga machine. Proletariat, funkadelic, parliamentarian, pro-revolt in the 21st century. Pro-running up in China saying fuck it all. But bring the people with you, that's the protocol. It's pretty joyful like jailbreaks. The whole world is anti-United Snakes. So check it out, anticipate the China venom. And move your antibody to this revolution rhythm. We gon' be fucking with them. Pro-union, but most laws they bite. Anti-motherfuckers crossing a strike. Take a look around and be for or against. But you can't do shit if you riding the fence. Riding the fence. We'll be right back.
to up in your dollars with telekinesis. I done tried every day and that shit decreases. Anti-crime bill pieces. We need cash and it's the anti-thesis. I'm pro overthrow of the hip-hop nation. Pro laying low till I'm all probation. Pro people control of the cash and corporations. Pro prophylactic, yeah, procreation. Anti-water down drinks and fancy cups. Anti-promoters who don't anti up, but I'm not anti-club. I know that power is the most effective anti-drug. I'm pro Zapatista, pro Cuba, Viva. Polarizer say fuck La Migra. Policia say assassina. Let me show you what I mean. I'm anti-Republican and Democratic. If they self-destruct, that's anti-climatic. Tired of being honey like an antelope. Take the system by the throat, that's the antidote. So I pose a proposition. Take a look, be in support of opposition. Do be proactive, proceed with confidence. Cause you know that you can't change shit by riding the fence. Ride the fence. Now you don't really wanna ride the fence. Now do you really wanna ride the fence? But would you really wanna ride the fence? Don't ride the fence. Ride the fence. Now you don't really wanna ride the fence. Now would you really wanna ride the fence? But would you really wanna ride the fence? Don't ride the fence.
Prostitution when when they show up at the stroke, give them lead restitution. You could throw a 20 in a vat of hot oil when they jump in after it, watch them boil. Toss a dollar in the river and when he jump in, if you find he can swim, put lead boots on him and do it again. You and a friend, videotaping a party don't end. Tell him that boogers be selling like crack. He gon' put the little baggies in his nose and suffocate like that. Put a 50 in the barrel of a gun when they try to suck it out. Well, you know this one. Make sure you ain't got no priors. Don't tell him that we conspired. We could let him try to change a flat tire, or we could all at once retire. Maybe just a few of the 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with your dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with your dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. Hey, area, get ready to rock. Hey, area, you ready to rock. L.A., get ready to rock. L.A., are you ready to rock? Chi-town, get ready to rock. Chi-town, are you ready to rock? Detroit, Detroit, are you ready to rock? Detroit, are you ready to rock? Atlanta, are you ready to rock? Atlanta, you ready to rock? Houston, get ready to rock. Houston, get ready to rock. New York, are you ready to rock? New York, are you ready to rock? London, get ready to rock. London, are you ready to rock? Get ready to brawl, K-Town, are you ready to brawl? Tokyo, get ready to brawl, Tokyo, get ready to brawl.
folks. You're listening to Radio.
Stinking Al with his PSAs? Interrupting my beautiful music? All right, fine. I'm back. So, hey, you were just listening to... what were you listening to? I messed up my whole order. The Coup. And immediately after that was Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy. And Lotus is back. After that, we had, or what was it just interrupted was the Gotan project with Queremos Paz. And maybe, like, so that I can finish cracking up about Lotus standing here with his hair. I'll put Queremos Paz de nuevo. Okay, aquí estamos, señores y señoritas. Yet again, I have two special guests in the studio. Lotus, who's cracking me up right now, and my friend Rich, and
hello,
to talk about Border Hack, because we've been mentioning it, and right now, sorry.
That's all us.
I made that for
intro. That was good. That
Yay,
was good.
Thank you.
So Border Hack. So we're having a big open general meeting. Sunday. Sunday at 6:30 at Chicano Perk,
yeah.
To
go.
Organize this thing, Border Hack. So I don't know. So what are some of the conversations that we've been having? Like, would you like to provide some context?
Sure. Well, I guess Organic Collective has been working on this border issue for a while. Like, we actually originated out of the action at the border against the WTO, with the interest in bringing attention to the WTO and to the border, and to look at the link between corporate globalization and the border. And since things are kind of heating up around the border, we were thinking about following up on this previous action that's been done a couple years in the past called Border Hack. The idea of Border Hack in the past has been to sort of hack the border, to subvert the border, or to come up with different ways to subvert the border and different methods of resistance, and looking at like digital resistance as well as people on the ground and people in cyberspace and different kinds of borders and all of those things.
Right, so the physical, the psychological, kind of using it also as very much as a metaphor. I mean, I think they set up a media lab at the previous Border Hacks, and they actually physically hacked the
Border Patrol
websites, yeah. Which is pretty rad. But it's not just about, like, hacking, right? Exactly. I mean, like, kind of hack is a much bigger word, and I think that's part of the reason why we liked the idea. Because hack, like, to hack means so many different things, right? I mean, to, like, explore, to kind of...
To build,
to kind of examine where the parameters are, and then attack them.
And so, as we've been talking about this, it's a difficult issue. As we've always been organizing around the border, it's a big, complicated, difficult issue. Yeah. It deals with race and white supremacy and gender and what are our roles in creating the border, and then, like, how is corporate globalization tied in, how is profit tied in, and all of these, migration and all the different factors influencing migration. So we feel that, like, Border Hack is a good way to take all of that uncertainty and ambiguity and kind of dive right in. instead of taking, like, a clear position or stand to... I mean, for sure, our position is that we're against borders and that we're against globalization. But beyond that, we feel like with Border Hack, we can introduce people to the border. Like, here, come down for 5 days and live at the fence and see what it looks like.
Right.
See how hot it is in August.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many people working on this issue, right? But there doesn't seem to really be kind of a force or a forum to really be able to talk about this really broader, big issue of the border. I mean, lots of people are working on smaller issues, I think, as kind of a tactical way of approaching work on a day-to-day basis. But I don't know. We want to have this really big conversation.
Right, a big conversation. Lots of people all over the place. And we've actually got some interest already from Mexico City and from Peru and from some hackers in San Francisco who want to come down.
So great.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And no, it's been amazing. Yeah.
I think that's what, for me, what I've really enjoyed in just even you bringing this up is how many people are coming to the table, like coming out and wanting to join, and versus doing the individual actions that everybody's doing. Like, this is going to be a powerful, like, way to, like, unite a lot of our visions along the border.
And like Rich was saying, we're trying to bring like a broad analysis. So, like, instead of saying we're against HR 418, I mean, we are against HR 418 and trying to help mobilize people against it, but to say that borders are violent, repressive things, and to sort of put this in a global context, like, there's huge movements against borders themselves in Europe, all over Europe. Like you read in San Diego Intermediate, right? And to put this in a context of corporate globalization too, like Rich was talking about the other day, like 1994 saw the beginning of Operation Gatekeeper, the coming of the Zapatistas onto the world stage, both at the same time, and the beginning of NAFTA, all at the same time, and it's not a mystery why.
Oh, there goes our special guest.
I'll come back.
Okay.
You can continue the conversation. We will continue for so long.
Okay, cool. Well, I think we can try and hold it down.
By no means is over this conversation. Cool. So,
okay. Yeah, I mean, so I think what he was talking about was that, I mean, there's so many issues here, and we want to try to talk about all of them and talk about how they're all related, right? So, I mean, he was talking about, Lotus was talking about how globalization or, you know, I fucking hate that word, but whatever. So globalization or neoliberalism or corporate globalization, whatever you want to call it, is totally 100% related to the militarization of the border. I mean,
huge.
Yeah, right?
I mean, even in literally, like, in building of the border, like, we use the freaking, what do we use, like...
Oh, man.
What are they called?
They're like the...
Like the landing.
The landing platforms from the Gulf War.
Yeah.
Were used to construct the fence.
Yeah. So the literal connection of, like, war to, like, what we're bringing to the border, like, what we're bringing to this division between Mexico and the United States.
Right. If that's not, like... Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, and it's going to be the same. It's going to be Army Reserves that are going to be building the triple border fence if it gets, if it's not, you know, if we're not able to stop the legislation or whatever of the Real ID Act and H.R. 418. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be more war-related materials and then also soldiers mm-hmm. constructing the fence. But, I mean, conservatives aren't hiding the fact. I mean, they're trying to use war language here. Mm-hmm. You know, they're using terrorism and this war on terrorism as a pretext. Mm-hmm. And
building on homeland security.
Right. And so, I mean, like, so in so many ways, yeah. In so many ways, this is a war, right? Yeah. And
so, one of the things that I like in digging around, because I want to talk about what's going on in Arizona, but I really don't want to give the Minutemen any more airtime.
Right.
but I am going next week, so I probably won't even be running this show because I'll be out there.
Great. That's great.
Out there doing my thing. So I was just doing a little bit of homework on kind of the background and what I'm going to be facing when I get out there, like the general, the language, the kind of the points of view that I'm going to be running into.
Right.
I can kind of guess, but one of the things that I ran into, a website that I found, was a list. Oh, I'm still looking for it. A list of people who have died. That who have been of bodies of people who have been found kind of along the border, mm-hmm. Forced to go across land that's so much more deadly, so much more dangerous for them because the fence is strategically being built to like squeeze people
into the deserts.
Into the deserts, yeah.
Right.
And I was just going to read a couple of them, but you know.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting that you're going out there. And, it's important to, I think, get a grasp of where the people are coming from, rather than kind of a shallow rejection of the Minutemen. Like, it's really important, I think, to understand, like, what are the roots of this. Mm-hmm. And that'll, I think, help you have more meaningful conversations with them and help them open up to you.
Absolutely. I think it's gonna. I'm brown, so
right.
that right there will affect the kind of conversations I get to have with a lot of the people that are being drawn to this project as Minutemen. I think, in part, I'm a woman. It's gonna play a part in that as well, but we'll see. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. So today, one of the Minutemen volunteers was actually kind of removed from service, asked to leave the project because they were found to, I mean, they violated one of the rules, right? So you can't touch an immigrant that they find crossing the border, and the person who was caught was asking for food or water or something, and the volunteer gave them a bowl of cereal and milk, shook their hand, and gave them $20 before the immigration patrol or before the border patrol got there to take them away, and as a result, got kicked out. So, did you hear about that?
No.
No?
No, I mean, I heard about the incident where, like, the guy, they kind of detained a guy and kind of humiliated him, made him wear it.
No, that's
made
a different.
Made him put up action. A shirt.
No, that's kind of different. But yeah, I'm sorry, go on with.
No, no,
that was
that's
pretty messed up. And what was his shirt? It said something like Joe Schmo's name.
Yeah, it's
like, I tried to cross the border and all I got was, you know, Joe Schmo's t-shirt or something like that. Or
yeah.
Something equivalent to fucked up shit like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
So I was looking up Indie Media Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Indie media. It's great stuff. I pitch it every show. Can you tell that I work a lot for Indie Media? It's going to be very slow pulling it up. God, I wish I remember what the name of that freaking t-shirt was. Or what it said on that t-shirt. Uh-huh. It was really freaking dumb.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, like, maybe we shouldn't give him any more airtime. But, I mean, so, I don't know. Do you want to talk a little more about Border Hack? Like,
yeah, talk about Border Hack. I love Border Hack.
Yeah, cool. I mean, well, you were just talking about indie media. It's really exciting on their Mexico City, the DFA indie media website. I don't know if that was a result of our friend and DJ here going to Mexico City and talking to them or not. But so, I mean, so our, we don't have a call to action yet for Border Hack, but we have kind of just a, we created a basic flyer about the general meeting and about what Border Hack's going to be about. And mm-hmm. so that's up on the front page. That's kind
so
of exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I think it's really, it's going to be really, really interesting because I think a lot of people are going to be contacting us from all over the world wanting to participate in this project.
Yeah.
I actually think it's going to be a little more messy, like locally, organizing with groups.
Than it is going to be through...
Yeah. Yeah, right. Then it is going to be dealing with groups internationally.
For sure. I think we're going to have, like, personalities and agendas and histories.
Right. And politics.
And politics. And, yeah. So it will be interesting to be able to navigate all of that. But I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, no, but it's really exciting. I mean, I think Lotus could talk to this more, but it's really exciting.
Lotus, just finished rinsing.
I mean, it's really exciting to see kind of the, there's a community out there on the net working on similar issues, and it's just kind of in the early stages, they've seen something that they really like, and they're jumping on it, mm-hmm. and so I don't know, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As we progress.
For sure.
So...
All right, I've been requested to ask about the PGA.
Aha,
aha.
The PGA. So, the Organic Collective kind of works within the hallmarks of the PGA, which is, the PGA is the People's Global Action, and they're a global network. They're a global anti-capitalist network that formed out of... one of the Zapatista Encuentros the second one in Spain. And so do you want to bring up the hallmarks?
I honestly don't know.
Okay, you can go to the Organic Collective website.
Oh, okay, cool.
And,
por favor, Javier.
And they're on there.
Holy cow.
But yeah, so basically the PGA, People's Global Action, has... organized like global days of action for God, how many years now?
So just
but some of the really big global days of action have been organized by the PGA and called for by the PGA. And it's all about talking about globalization and neoliberalism and war. So. So yeah, we saw the hallmarks and we're like, that is what we're all about. They're fucking great. And so we're trying to work within those.
Where can I find the hallmarks?
They should be...
So I'm on the General Indie Media webpage. Is that a good beginning?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Never mind that. Here, eat that boy. In the meantime, I'll look at what Hyperpalm had to say. Threw some great words out there. Autonomy! That's a great word. And also maybe the Ricardo Dominguez and Electronic Civil Disobedience. So hopefully next Thursday, DJ Lotus during Resistance Radio will be having Ricardo Dominguez up, who will be talking about Electronic Civil Disobedience. Gonna be good times. Ah, okay. OrganicCollective.org. We're listening to Digimani in the background again. Music from my people. Oh, yay, for the hallmarks. Okay. So, People's Global Action Network hallmarks. As agreed to by social movements at the PGA conference in Cochabamba.
So there you go, I was wrong.
Bolivia, in August of 2001, One, a very clear rejection of capitalism, imperialism, and feudalism. All trade agreements, institutions, and governments that promote destructive globalization. Two, we reject all forms and systems of domination and discrimination, including but not limited to patriarchy, racism, and religious fundamentalism of all creeds. We embrace the full dignity of all human beings. Three, a confrontational attitude, since we do not think that lobbying can have a major impact in such biased and undemocratic organizations in which transnational capital is the only real policy maker. Four, a call to direct action and civil disobedience, support for social movement struggles, advocating forms of resistance which maximize respect for life and oppressed people's rights, as well as the construction of local alternatives to global capitalism. And five, an organizational philosophy based on decentralization and autonomy. Great.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that rad?
That's freaking awesome.
I think that was, I think we saw those, and I think it got passed around on an email. And we were like, what do people think about adding this to about us, you know, like our about us section, or like what we believe in? And we all saw it, and we were like, that's us, that's perfect,
yeah,
that's fucking
so great.
Awesome. And so, yeah, and I think that's kind of very much what this Border Hack project is about, is believing that we must directly confront the economy and government and those problems which we see, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that are working on these issues, and I respect their work, right? Most of the work being done is lobbying,
mm-hmm.
and there's only so much that can be done with lobbying.
Yeah.
You have to really confront these much larger forces, mm-hmm. of, I mean, like they said, like, policy is being dictated by transnational capital.
Yeah.
And so we have to start talking about capitalism. And we have to talk about racism. And we have to talk about, like, government and whether or not it's a good thing. Right? Not whether or not, like, this bill or that bill should be voted yes or no upon. Right?
Well, and I think lobbying is so, like, one, it's not so inspiring. Like, for the most part, it takes very, very focused people to,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
keep up on what's going on, to know, like, just the right way to kiss ass in order to, like, get your message across. But it also, like...
Not sexy.
It doesn't... Yeah, it's not sexy. It doesn't move the masses, right? So you have to, like, get... You have to find ways to get out there and inspire people to fucking do something about it, you know, just to get out there and make change. So lobbying is it.
Right.
That.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it as, like, if there's a popular movement, then, you know, the politicians will be forced to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like really the only way that I can function and kind of keep, I don't know, a certain amount of spirit and excitement about action and struggle, right?
So I'm reading what Hyperpoem has written.
Cool.
He would like to add, or she, Hyperpoem, I'm not sure. I want to add digitally that one of the PGA hallmarks states that PGA wants to be confrontational, to really challenge capital, and we want to do that with Border Hack. So, yeah.
Word. Yeah, no, right? I mean, I don't think we want to necessarily say that we're going to go and attack the fucking fence, right? But, I don't know. If that were to happen, that'd be awesome. You know, we want to be responsible about the issues so that we don't kind of bring the wrath of the state upon people that aren't, you know, expecting or able or willing to get in trouble like that. And so, you know, we want to be careful about that, right? But, you know, at some point you need to get down there and try and tear down the fence.
Awesome. Thank you. See if Hyperpoem has anything else to say. Probably been saying at this point. So we have all of 6 minutes left for my show. Single reach. What else should we talk about?
What else should we talk about? So we should invite people again to the open meeting for Border Hack. Sunday at 6:30. It's going to be at Chicano Park. Everyone and anyone interested in working on border issues, and more specifically undermining and hacking the border. This border hack is going to be kind of an escalation of resistance to the border. So it's going to be like a summer, like a whole summer of events, culminating in a camp. Somewhere between a 3 to 5 day camp on, or camps on both sides of the border. This is very much, well, border hack in the past has been very much organized by the Mexican side of the border, and so we absolutely feel like it's essential for Mexican voices to have perhaps priority in really explaining their experience of the border and their critique of the border. And
there's not enough venues out there for that.
Right, and so this is very much a cross-border manifestation or action, cross borders, plurally. So.
Cool. Thank
you. Yes, everyone come to the meeting on Sunday at Chicano Park, 6:30. That's going to be kind of the first general meeting here in San Diego. And there should be some meetings coming up in Tijuana.
Yes, for sure, in Tijuana. And I think, so excited. Like, I think the more meetings we have, the more we bring this out there, like, the more people are going to come, organizations and, like, the potential for border hack will be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because there's so many people that are excited and involved in these struggles, and so we kind of just want to try and provide a forum for a bigger and broader conversation, and kind of heat up like all of these different struggles that are going on, and kind of elevate them.
So yay. Hey, so for more announcements, Youth Busting Borders Conference. We mentioned it earlier.
Awesome.
So information about it, it's going to be Saturday, April 16th, 2005. There's going to be, the conference itself starts at 11 o'clock. Well, I'm sorry, 10 o'clock. So it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And so there's going to be a dance and concert from, you know, 10 to, or 6 p.m. until 10:30. I'm looking to see where it's going to be. Oh, here, where it's going to be. It's going to be at the Mac Community Charter School, which is 1385 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista. Free transportation if people want to, like, connect with the folks. It's a collaboration put on by the Youth Action Network. I'm looking to see if there's a... Oh, yeah, here. So if you're interested, contact them. You can either email them at sdyouthaction@yahoo.com or call them at 619-987-7553. Give him a call. It's going to be good.
Yeah, this conference sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think Radioactive is actually going to be doing a project there, a workshop there.
Cool.
I think Indie Media maybe as well. For sure, Organic Collective.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going to be doing one on Border Hack also. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's just perfect, right? Busting borders.
So anyone listening, I mean, if you're interested in working on this, if you have questions, you want to know more about it, come on down. So
yeah.
Saturday, April 16th. And then a quick pitch for a couple of things happening tonight and this weekend. Tonight is actually Radioactive Movie Night. So the second Friday of every month, we have Radioactive Movie Night. And you have to come dressed the part, all right? People, you have to promise. It's going to be, we're going to be doing double feature with Hedwig and the Angry Inch and Fantastic Planet beginning 7 o'clock. At the Dallas Sanctuary on the corner of El Cajon Boulevard and Park Boulevard. Or Park Avenue? Is it Avenue?
I think it's an avenue.
Park Avenue and El Cajon Boulevard. So, yeah, come on down and wear a wig. And it's a $3 to $5 donation. And it will be good times. Just come and hang out with good people. So there's that. I don't have information for the other thing that's happening tonight, so I'm not going to tell you. And
I don't know the specifics, but also at Chicano Park tonight, there is an art exhibit opening and some cool bands. They're escaping my mind which bands they are, but I assure you they're dope.
Is it tonight or?
It's tonight.
All right, so after the double feature, we'll go over to Chicano Park.
Right.
Right on. And then for the next few weeks, I don't have all the information, but there's a show at the Mission Valley Library called Poesía Diaria, Everyday Poetry. It's an art installation piece put on by some pretty radical women. I love them so much, and I can't remember their names right now. I'm feeling so bad. One of them's named Joan. And Virginia, DJ Lotus had them on yesterday in interviewing them about the project, which is a documentation of and kind of a breaking down of what was going down in Argentina. So 30,000 disappeared, and their families, in trying to remember them and connect them to their lives today, having been gone for 30 years. It's amazing. It's really powerful. I went last night to a movie that they were showing the official story, which I totally recommend. And they're going to be showing another movie next Thursday, and I'm totally escaping. Like the title. Yeah, I don't remember the title. But this coming Sunday, there's going to be a reception, so you got to come. Again, it's the Mission Valley Library from 3 to 5 p.m. You get to meet the two people who are coordinating it. You get to see the wall of all of these... kind of trying to think of what might be equivalent in like papers that you would see today. So it's kind of it's a photograph. In most cases, there's a photograph of the person who was murdered or killed or murdered killed. I'm tired. Disappeared really, because the majority of these people
murdered and disappeared.
And they'll never know, I think, where their bodies are, unfortunately. So the families are still trying to communicate. So there are these little ads in the paper, and like, you know, page 13, I think.
Jesus, wow.
Yeah, that say, hey, you know, damn, did I bring one? Oh, that would have been great to bring one. I can't.
So basically all of lots of little informal...
So
documentations of
when they were born, when they disappeared, maybe some information that might identify them, some messages from the family. So it's been 30 years, you know. So they're connecting in ways that maybe might reach them, may never reach them. So family announcements, you know, hey, your sister's just had a baby, and you know, we wanted to let you know, and some messages going out to the universe like that. Messages like, we'll never forget you. Without justice, there is no peace.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
So Virginia began this project and just cutting out these articles because she just, they make an impression. So she started cutting them out, and as she saw her collection grow to like over 100, she's like, something needs to happen with these. And she brought in Joanne from San Diego, who translates and works back and forth in Argentina. And between the two of them, they began translating and quickly realized that this is a community project. Like, it can't be a mechanical translation of all of these messages coming out.
What an amazing phenomenon.
Yeah, it's amazing. So she was able to, like, put together this project and have an opening in Buenos Aires and meet a lot of the family members and their reactions to the work. Pretty powerful. And it's going to be traveling for a while. She's traveling with it. So yeah, people, Sunday, 3 to 5, Mission Valley Library.
I wonder if there's been kind of a resurgence in activities and in remembrance and kind of documentation of the disappeared in Argentina, kind of concurring along with the uprising in 2001 that recently occurred.
Yeah. So from what I understand, like, the disappearances, there's still just a silence about it. You know, de eso no se habla. So, just because I think the fear is still real, you know? I mean, she showed us a photograph of two people who were at a demonstration in 2002 who were killed by the police, who were shot by the police during a demonstration, and they have footage of them taking pictures of themselves in front of these two people, these two men that were shot. So they, like, pulled them up to the wall and put their legs up in the air, like, up against the wall to drain the blood faster out of their bodies. And they died in front of the camera while these police officers were, like, posing next to them, like,
oh my God.
In the style of Abu Ghraib. So, yeah, I mean, it's real. It's still real, the possibility of speaking up too much, too loudly.
Yeah, but I think, like, that's one of the most exciting things about kind of the resurgence in revolt in Argentina and rebirth of resistance and struggle is that you had a whole generation of people that were silent and in fear, right? Yeah. And so it's the next generation that are kind of saying, you know, we refuse to stay silent.
Yeah.
It's like so awesome.
Well, it was, I mean, the disappearance of an entire generation, 30,000 people, and all of them were like passionate activists, young students, you know, teachers, parents, like an entire generation wiped out. And I think it's taken these 30 years of silence and fear and for that to come alive again. It's really great. And again, through indie media, you can link to Argentina and read up on what's been going on down there.
Right.
Very cool.
Right.
Freaking indie media. I love it. So, hey, it's over my... It's time. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to play... what should I play?
Artificial Borders.
Artificial Borders. Is there something really?
No.
Damn.
You and your time.
Well, yeah. It's only because we have movie night tonight. Otherwise, I'd run over.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Bring a wig. Wear your wig. So I have another song called Tierra y Libertad by Fuga. And I don't know what they're...
Oh, they're so awesome.
Yeah, all right. We're playing them. Peace out, you.
El día.